Brother Dan Morgan's going to come and read scripture and lead us in prayer. And then after that, Sean's going to lead us in singing the call to worship, which is located inside the bulletin. Somebody may not have seen the bulletin, so if anybody doesn't have a bulletin, if you raise your hand, Jonathan's got them, and he'll give you one. They're kind of hidden amongst the food, so you want that so we can sing the call to worship. All right, Dan, you come read scripture and lead us in prayer.
You can turn to Romans chapter 10 this morning. I'd like to read this section of scripture from Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll stop our reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you a thankful people, thankful that through our Lord Jesus Christ we might approach thy holy throne in his righteousness. Thankful, Lord, that you have blessed us this weekend through the preaching of the word. Preaching of Christ. We thank you for these men that you've brought here to open your word and tell us of our Savior. We pray, Lord, that we're still needy. And we pray that you would send your Spirit to be among us this morning, that you might take the word that you've given your servant and apply it to the hearts of your sheep. Father, we claim to be Israel, favored of thee. Father, leave us not knowledgeable in the doctrines and ignorant of the person. Father, cause us not to think of the mechanics of righteousness, but to love righteousness himself, the person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to love him. Lord, give us a glimpse, just a glimpse of ourselves in our need, enough to cause us to run to the person, the who of righteousness, not the what. Father, you've brought each one of us here this morning, and we pray that you would not leave us alone, but that you would give us a word from me. What a blessing it is to be here among your people. We pray for those who were unable to be here this morning for whatever reason. We know that many of our number are going through deep trials, and when one of our members hurts, we all hurt. We lift them up to thee, knowing that thou art able to heal whatever befalls. And we ask, Lord, that as we stand and hear Christ proclaimed in this place, that you would send your word out to gather your sheep through this world. What we ask for us, we ask for men who stand this morning preaching Christ. Leave them not alone, Lord, but give them food for your sheep. Father, we give thanks once again for these men that you've brought to us. And Lord, we ask once again, leave us not ignorant of who. Cause us to run to Christ, to cling to him, to know our need, and to know salvation. We ask all these things in the name above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, if you would, have your hymnal or your bulletin, call to worship. Is there going to be to the tune of song number 58, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee? And please stand.
Dear Lord, to us assembled here, reveal thy smiling face. While we by faith with love and fear approach thy throne of grace. Thy house is called the house of prayer, a solemn sacred place. Oh, let us now thy presence share while at thy throne of grace. With holy boldness may we come, though of a sinful race, thankful to find there yet is room before thy throne of grace. We bless thee for thy word and laws, we bless thee for thy peace, and we do bless thee, Lord, because there is a throne of grace.
And now if you would, for one more, in your red hymnal, turn to song number 296, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus, my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Our second speaker this morning, Pastor Chris Cunningham, College Grove Grace Church. I'm so thankful, Chris, you could be here, you and Kevin, and I pray God bless you now. And in case I forget to say it later, when you men go home, I pray God bless you. They're in College Grove and in San Diego. We think about preaching, being conference preaching. Now, these men preach these same messages at home every week, don't they? Every week. And I pray God bless you and bless his sheep there through you. So, Chris, you come and bring the message God's given to you.
Luke chapter 19, if you would, please. Appreciate that message by Brother Kevin. I wouldn't presume to title your message for you, Kevin, but I'd be tempted to call that message, Where'd the Towel Go? Wasn't that beautiful? It's never mentioned again. Never mentioned again, is it? Because of the grace and power of our Savior. Luke 19:1, I guess we'll just go a verse at a time through this. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. I do want to show you something right away as we enter this study, though. I want us to look at verses 3 and verse 10 as we're thinking about our Lord passing through Jericho. In verse 3, talking about Zacchaeus, it says, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And then in verse 10, our Lord said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus sought him, but could not. But our Savior came seeking Zacchaeus. They were seeking one another. I'm sure Zacchaeus was interested in seeing the Lord, likely for the same reason. Everybody there was a multitude there to see the Lord, interested because of the word of his miracles had spread, I'm sure, through the country, and multitudes followed the Lord wherever he went. And Zacchaeus was short of stature and was unable to see in the crowd, so he climbed up a sycamore tree. But verse 10 tells us that the reason the Lord Jesus came to this earth, the reason God Almighty was born of a virgin, the reason that existed before he came, that motivated the Lord Jesus to come to this earth, was to seek and to save Zacchaeus. The lost, that's many, we know. It's a number which no man can number. Is it you? I don't know. But I know it was Zacchaeus. I know Zacchaeus was one of them. There was a time, I guess, I know, on this earth, in time when both the sinner and the Savior sought each other, at different times maybe, but way before that, before there was time, God the Son purposed to come in the heart of God. Father, Son, and Spirit, in the heart of God was the will to seek and save sinners. The eternal Son of God had the desire, the will in his heart. And he said, I'm going after him. I've come to seek my sheep, my lost sheep, and I'm going to find them. Call them unto myself. I'm going to find them and I'm going to save them. He came to seek and save many. But Zacchaeus was one of them. Who else, you reckon? We know from Scripture some of who they were. But what's paramount to each of us, I want to emphasize this again this morning, is will he save me? Would he come to me? Would he come where I am? Would he bother to even pass my way this morning? Verse 1 says he entered and passed through Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, we learn that the city of Jericho was accursed unto the Lord. And this is what the city pictures spiritually here in our text, to be cursed of God. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the man who is saved by the Good Samaritan, it says he passed down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's us by nature. We go from the place of double peace. That's what Jerusalem means. This is a picture of us by nature. We fell. We went down. In the garden, we had perfect peace and fellowship with God, but we went down in the fall. When we sinned against God, we went into the place of the curse, Jericho. Cursed of God. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ had to be made a curse for us. We're cursed of God by nature. In Joshua 6:17, it says of Jericho, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it, to the Lord. To the Lord. To the people there, it might have been a fine city, but to the Lord, it was cursed. In the story of the Good Samaritan, again, the only way that man, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. And he's laying in a ditch bleeding out, and the only way he leaves Jericho is for the Lord to come there. Pass by that way and come. And I love those words in that text. It says, he came where he was. If you're saved, that's what happened to you. He had to come where you were. Came where he was, and he poured in the oil of his grace and the wine of his precious blood. And bound up his wounds and lifted him up and took him to safety and paid his way. And said, if he ever owes anything else, put it on my tab. That's how the Lord saved me. I just lay there. In our text, it says that the Lord Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. We know from all of Scripture that when he did, he found some wretched, cursed, dying, hell-bound sinners there. He brought them out with him. We see that in several places in Scripture when he went to Jericho. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took us out of the place of the curse, from under the curse. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Being made a curse for us. He had to pass through Jericho. That's where we are. He came and brought us out. Took us with him out of Jericho. And behold, verse 2 in our text, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And you might as well just trade out that word publicans for sinners. That's how everybody looked at him. It's just about synonymous in the scripture. Publicans and sinners, the words are used together. And look at what it says, and he was rich. Why does it say that? What difference does that make? Well, I believe I know why. In chapter 18 of Luke, the previous chapter, we have the story of the rich young ruler, where the Lord told his disciples, they said, who can be saved? If this man went away, he came asking, how can I inherit the kingdom of God? There's not many people doing that. He came and asked about that. But the thing is, you can't do anything to inherit. An inheritance is given willingly. You have to be a son in order to inherit. That happened by you doing something. So the Lord told his disciples, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then he just flat out said, and he just said it with men, it's impossible. A rich man can't be saved. And then what did he do? He just went and saved a rich man in chapter 19. But with God, all things are possible. He came in order to seek and to save those who, by their own estimation, are rich spiritually. We have need of nothing until we come to the place by God's grace that we find that we need everything. Dan asked me to get that closer to me, and I forgot to do it. I hope it's not too close. If I start shouting, you'll... And he was rich. Impossible. But he came to seek and to save those who can't save themselves. To save the lost. That's what that is, people that can't save themselves. Now, where was the Lord headed ultimately when he went through Jericho, the place of the curse? Look at Luke 18:31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He was heading to Jerusalem this whole time. When he passed through Jericho, he went by blind Bartimaeus, of course, on purpose, and saved him. And in verse 35 of verse, it came to pass, of verse 8, chapter 18, verse 35, it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside, begging. So he went from into Jericho and go on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to the place of double peace with God. And he stops off though on the way there and finds us under the curse. He can take us back to where we started. The man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. The Lord comes through Jericho, but he's heading to Jerusalem. But he first must enter and pass through that place of the curse. And the picture here is so clear. We fell from Jerusalem to Jericho. But where he's headed, he's going to the cross. He's going to go through Jericho under the curse, being made a curse for us. But he's coming through there to get for us. This is my blood which is shed for you. And we're heading to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. The word publican, as I said, was all but synonymous with sinner. Matthew 9:11, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? That's who Zacchaeus was. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to
save sinners,
of whom I'm chief. Verse 3 in our text, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. Could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Now, he sought the Lord, but he couldn't see him. He couldn't find him. He couldn't get it done. The gospel message is seek and you shall find. And Zacchaeus did seek, and he ultimately did find, but Zacchaeus' stature was not the solution to the problem. Why did Zacchaeus find the Lord? Because the Lord came right where he was and looked up at him and said his name. It said, come on down here. You'll notice in verses 4 and 5 that it does not say that Zacchaeus ran before. Look at verses 4 and 5. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. It doesn't say Zacchaeus ran before, climbed up a tree, and that solved his problem. He saw the Lord. It never says that. It says the Lord saw him. And that's how it happens in salvation. The Lord came to the place. He came where he was. Just like the Good Samaritan did. And this is how God saves sinners. He sought us from eternity. He gives us a heart to seek him, and we will, by his grace, do that. We do, and we are determined to get to him, but in the end, all who find him give him all the glory. What's your testimony, Paul? When it pleased God, he revealed his Son in me. What's your testimony, David? Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. What's your testimony, John? We love him because he first loved us. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. Verse 5 in our text, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. In verse 4 is the description of Zacchaeus' efforts to see the Lord Jesus Christ, but it never says Zacchaeus saw the Lord. Obviously he did, but it's worded this way for a reason. The language is significant here. It says the Lord saw him. And this reminds me of that old blind man in John chapter 9. Remember, listen to verse 1 of John 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind. He saw a man that couldn't see him. That's my testimony. How about you? The Lord looked upon me, and I had no idea that he was even there when he set his affection on me. What a beautiful verse of scripture. One day the Son of God came where I was and saw a man which could not see and never would. Born blind and never could, never would see him. But he saw me. You know, it's just the simple, beautiful things in scripture that teach the most profound doctrinal truth. You know, I'm thankful for books like that thick on doctrine. I've read a lot of them and enjoyed them. But you could write a book that thick, or you could just hear the Word of God say, the Lord saw a man which was blind. You know, people write big old books on the immutability of God. Wonderful, wonderful doctrine. But the way the Lord says that is this: I am the Lord, I change not. It doesn't take long to read that, does it? And he's able to show you that. He's able to reveal that to you. Oh, but look what the Lord said to Zacchaeus. He didn't say, I've got a decision for you to make today, Zacchaeus. It sounds like from what the Lord said to Zacchaeus that the matter had already been decided, and not by Zacchaeus. And look, he said, hurry up. Why does it say it that way? Make haste and come down. You know, if the Lord would have just said, come down, Zacchaeus, just come down. Zacchaeus is not going to stay up there and say, I don't know, I got a pretty good view from up here. You know, I think I'll... He would have just come down, wouldn't he? But he deliberately said, make haste. You know why? Because now is the day of salvation. That's why. Come down now. Hurry, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. There is no tomorrow. There literally is no tomorrow. And tomorrow, there'll be no tomorrow. If there is a tomorrow, and there's not. It doesn't exist. Now is the day of salvation. So the Lord said there in verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And look, he said, come down because I must abide at thy house. And you know how the Lord described that? I must abide at thy house. What does that mean? Here's the way the Lord described it in verse 9. This is what he's saying when he says, I must abide at thy house. He said, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. That's what it means. This is what it means. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, he's saying, come down because I've got to save you today. Would you like to hear the Lord say that to you? Make hay, hurry up, come down here because I've got to save you today. I don't hear anything about a proposal, any kind of contingency or condition. It's pretty clear in Zacchaeus. The Lord doesn't save mankind. He saves his sheep. He calls them by name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I'm going to save you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The gospel's a command. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. We're told of the obedience of the gospel in the Word of God. It's not an offer. It's not an invitation. If the king sends you an invitation and says, you come now, you come to my supper, and he says, I'm going to cut your head off if you don't show up, that's not an invitation. There's consequences to not coming to Christ. Eternal consequence. Repentance is a change in our mind about who God is, about what we are, and how God can be just and justify a wretch like me. He's just and justifier by Christ going through Jericho, being made a curse for us, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law by his precious blood. The gospel is urgent. Make haste and come down. Listen to this passage of Scripture that's not often seen in its full context. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Well, on what basis? God is holy and I'm a wretch. On this basis. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 6:1, listen to this. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't hear us preach in vain this morning. Don't hear the gospel in vain. Don't trifle with God. For see, he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You notice it doesn't even say today is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Right now. The gospel's a command. The gospel's urgent. The gospel requires you to come down. Now, this is more than just humility coming down. And we do have to come down now. Because we think we've got it solved. We've climbed up our tree and everything's going to be fine. We're going to be able to do what we came to do. We've got to be brought down. But this is more than, we don't discount that, but this is more than that. In the story of the Pharisee and the publican who both prayed in the temple, our Lord said that the publican went down to his house justified. Do you remember the reason? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Do you remember what the Pharisee did? Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I do this and I do that and I do the other thing. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven and smote upon his breast. This coming down that's pictured by Zacchaeus physically coming down from that tree is an acknowledgement of our sin. It's a cry for mercy unto him, like the publican at the mercy seat, who alone can have mercy on a sinner. You come to the place where mercy is had for sinners, the mercy seat, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, God, be merciful. And that word merciful, there in Luke 18:13, he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That word merciful means make propitiation for me. It has to do with the sin offering. And think about this too. What was coming down for Zacchaeus? What was that coming down? It was undoing everything that Zacchaeus did in his flesh in order to see Christ. He had to undo that. Not only was Zacchaeus' stature not his solution, it was his problem. And not only were his efforts not the reason that he saw Christ, but he had to undo his efforts. He had to renounce them. Salvation only comes when you abandon your efforts, when you've spent all you had and are despairing of any help. You despair of your own stature. You despair of your own energy and will, and receive the Christ who doesn't save tall people. He don't save anybody that can see him on their own. He saves people that are never going to get a glimpse of him unless he comes right where they are. Or the ingenuity of, well, I've got this figured out. I'll climb a tree. You got to come down from that tree. He saves in spite of your stature, that is, your standing before God. He saves in spite of your efforts to get saved. They have to be undone. Paul said, I renounce everything. who I am, my heritage, all that I've done, everything. It's dumb that I may win Christ. Got to come down out of your tree. Fig leaf's got to be stripped off if you're going to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Hurry up and come down, for I must save. I must abide. That word abide means to remain. Bless God when the Lord comes. It's salvation. Salvation's come when He comes to abide with you, and He comes to stay. This doesn't mean in the text here, obviously, that He lived with Zacchaeus in his house from then on. But again, the wording is significant. It means to stay. I've come to stay. And once you know who He is, once you realize who came where you were, one of your favorite scriptures will be, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've come to stay. I've got to stay with you. And He does. If we're going to be saved, you got to stay. If once we know who He is, all we want to do is know who He is. Paul said, oh, that I may know thee. That I may know thee in the power of thy resurrection. What I have now is Him with me. What I long for is Him with me. And I want to be with Him in paradise, because that is paradise. And He made haste, verse 6. He made haste. I reckon He did. And came down. Oh, He brings us to the dust. And what a blessed place to be. If you're not utterly hanging upon the mercy of Christ, if you're not at His feet in the dust this morning, you're in a bad place. And received Him joyfully. Of course He did. When God says, let there be light, there's light. When He says, be not faithless but believing, the next thing is, my Lord and my God. And notice He didn't accept Him. He received Him. There's a big difference. The Son of God is not up for acceptance or rejection. You are, and I am. Salvation is not us accepting Him. It's Him accepting us. It's Him coming where we are and said, here's what's going to happen now. It does. It does. He received Him. But this is not Christ standing outside the sinner's door, you know, the heart, the door of his heart, and knocking, you know, they talk about that in religion, hoping that you're going to let Him in. This is Him saying, hurry up, get down here, I must come save you today. It's necessary. This is the Son of God fulfilling the purpose for which He came. He came to seek and to save us, His lost sheep. And that's what He did. That's what He's doing. And that's what He will do until this thing is all over. I pray He'll do that this morning. I pray He'll bring a lost sheep home this morning. What is our experience of that? Pure joy. He received Him joyfully. And you know what His experience of that is? He said, I found my sheep, which was lost. Come rejoice with me. But boy, for us, pure joy. Not perfect joy. Not yet. But the simple joy of knowing that God came to save you. He came and called your name and said, you come now. I must abide at your house today. The simple joy of that. He gave Himself to save me. And because of who He is and what He did, I'm saved. Salvation came to my house. Not an opportunity. Not a chance. salvation, the person, came to live with me. That's about as joyous as it gets. I want to close with just this passage of Scripture, 1 Peter 1:3. If you want to turn over there with me, I've gone too long, but let's look at this together in closing. 1 Peter 1:3. Just thinking of what it said there in our text, he received him joyfully. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what that sounds like? Doesn't that sound like a finished salvation? It sounds like he did it for us, doesn't it? All of it. All of it. Wherein you greatly rejoice. That's the only gospel you can rejoice in. The flesh, you know, they get excited about the man-made free will, so-called gospel, but that's not joy. That's not the joy of the Lord. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You read the first part of this and you think, how wonderful. He saved me from start to finish. He saved me. And then he starts talking about bad things that happen. And that's him saving us too. That's part of it. That's to his glory and for our good. Verse 8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you receive him not, yet believing, by his grace we believe. What's the next word? Help. We believe, Lord, help. Help our unbelief. But believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. You think you could explain it to somebody right now? If they asked you, what's the big deal about this Christ y'all preach and him, you know, saving you? What's the big deal about that? You think you could even explain it? You know what you'd say? Come see for yourself. Come in here. Come in here. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. May God cause us to leave here today rejoicing as we see our sister baptized in his name. Oh, we're going to rejoice with joy we can't even talk about by his grace. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. And let's rejoice in him together this morning. Thank you, brother.
Chris, that was so clear. You said that's how God saved you. That's how he saved me too. All by his seeking, by his grace, by his mercy, by him giving faith, by him giving life, by him calling, by him keeping. That's how God saved me too. I appreciate that message. This is why I try to preach to this congregation every week. Come to Christ and come right now. Right now. Oh, God, help us to hear the gospel urgently, to hear Christ urgently. You know, not one person is here accidentally this morning. Not one. Maybe the Lord brought you this sycamore tree to call you. Maybe he brought you here to call you this morning and say, come now. Oh, I pray so. I pray so. And after Sean leads us in singing a hymn, we're going to have a baptismal service. We're just delighted. Our sister, Janie Holback, is going to confess our Lord and believer's baptism. And for our visitors, I'm going to explain to you the way we do this. After Janie's baptized, she's going to stand over here wrapped in a towel, and y'all come. Hug her around the neck, and let's thank God together. And after that, you can find something to eat out here. Our lady's got plenty. We'll find something to eat and have a time of fellowship before y'all got to hit the road and get back home. So, Sean, you come lead us in a hymn. And, Jane, you get ready. We'll have a baptismal service. I can't think of a better way to end a Bible conference than somebody confessing Christ. Can you? I'm thankful.
If you would, turn to song number 37. We'll sing How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we bow before you this afternoon again in Christ's name, giving thanks, Lord, thankful for what we just witnessed, our sister being baptized. Lord, we thank you for these messengers and the messages that they've delivered to us. We're thankful for this congregation, Lord, the love that they've shown us during this meeting. Lord, but above all things, thankful for your Son, the blood that he shed. Lord, be with us as we go away from this place, Lord. Guide us, direct us. Cause us to look to you in all things. Lord, I thank you for first loving us. Also, Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness from sin. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.